You ever meet somebody at an airport who looked like they ought to be sitting on a porch somewhere sipping lemonade, and then you find out they've flown more ocean crossings than most airline captains? I'm Taildragger, and this is the Hangar on Radio Hangar. Pull up a chair, because tonight's story is one of those that makes you shake your head and wonder what kind of person looks at a single-engine Piper Comanche and says, "Yeah, I'm going to fly that across the Atlantic." Today's show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins for every milestone in flight. First solo private pilot, instrument rating, all the way up. If you've earned it, they've got a coin for it. Every coin tells a story. Check them out at aviationsoul.com. His name was Max Conrad, born 1903 in Winona, Minnesota, a little river town tucked along the Mississippi. He learned to fly in the 1920s, which, if you know anything about 1920s, aviation means he learned in something held together with fabric and optimism. By the time most pilots his age were hanging it up, Max was just getting warmed up. See, Max didn't start making headlines until he was in his 50s. Let that sink in. 50 years old and the man decides he's going to start breaking long-distance records in light airplanes. Not military surplus bombers with extra fuel tanks welded in by a team of engineers. Light airplanes. The kind of thing you and I tie down at the local field. His weapon of choice for many of these flights was the Piper Comanche 250. A lovely little airplane, sure, comfortable for a three-hour cross-country to visit your in-laws. Max looked at that airplane and saw a transoceanic aircraft. Now here's where it gets interesting to fly a Comanche across the Atlantic. You need fuel, a lot more fuel than the factory tanks hold. Max would strip the interior down to nothing, seats out, carpet out, anything that wasn't bolted to the airframe and keeping the wings attached came out, then he'd fill the cabin with auxiliary fuel tanks. We're talking about sitting in that tiny cockpit surrounded by AVGAs. The smell alone would knock you sideways. One spark, and you're a fireball over the North Atlantic. Max didn't seem to mind. He made his first ocean crossing in 1951, and then he just kept doing it. By the time the record books caught up with him, Max Conrad had crossed the Atlantic more than 100 times in light aircraft. More than 100 times in light aircraft. More than 100. Most of those trips were solo, just Max, his airplane, the cold gray water below and whatever stars he could see through the windscreen. Think about what that means for a moment. No autopilot worth trusting on most of those early flights. No GPS, no satellite weather. You're navigating by dead reckoning and celestial, watching your fuel gauges like a hawk, and hoping the winds aloft forecast you got before departure still has some relationship to reality, 8 hours later. The North Atlantic is not forgiving. It doesn't care about your flight plan. The weather changes faster than you can climb above it, and if your engine quits, the water temperature gives you maybe 15 minutes before hypothermia finishes what the ditching started. In 1959, Max set a solo light plane distance record. He flew a Comanche from Casablanca, Morocco to El Paso, Texas, nonstop. That's over 7,100 miles in a single-engine piston airplane. He was airborne for more than 58 hours. I want you to sit with that number, 58 hours alone, in a cockpit the size of a phone booth, with fuel tanks where your co-pilot should be, over open ocean for most of it. They asked him afterward how he stayed awake. Max said he sang hymns. He was a devout Catholic, and he said the rosary, and he sang. And when that didn't work, he'd open the storm window and let the cold Atlantic air blast him in the face. There's no fancy fatigue management protocol for that, just cold air and prayer. The press called him the Flying Grandfather, and Max didn't mind the nickname one bit. He had 10 children, 10, and between flying record-breaking missions across oceans, he went home to Minnesota and was a family man. His kids said he was quiet, gentle, the kind of father who showed up to school events and fixed things around the house. Then he'd disappear for a week and you'd read in the newspaper that he'd flown to Europe again in a Comanche. What got me when I first heard about Max was the why. He wasn't doing it for money. These flights didn't make him rich. He wasn't doing it for fame exactly, though the records brought attention. Max said he flew because God gave him the ability and he felt obligated to use it. That's about as pure a motivation as you'll ever find in aviation. No sponsorship deal, no social media following, just a man, an airplane, and the conviction that the sky was where he was supposed to be. There's a moment in one of his flights, I think it was the Casablanca to El Paso run, where he hit weather over the mid-Atlantic that pushed him down to just a few hundred feet above the waves. He could see the whitecaps in the beam of his landing light. The turbulence was throwing that little Comanche around like a kite in a thunderstorm. And Max just kept flying, held his heading, watched his instruments, sang another hymn. He came out the other side, climbed back up to cruise altitude, and pressed on. That's the thing about Max Conrad. He wasn't reckless. People who didn't know better called him crazy, but the man was meticulous. He planned every flight down to the pound of fuel. He knew his airplane's performance numbers cold. He understood the weather patterns over the North Atlantic better than most meteorologists of his era. He just had a risk tolerance that was calibrated differently than yours and mine. He'd done the math, he trusted his preparation, and then he went flying. He kept at it into his 70s. His last major record attempt was in the late 1970s. By then, the aviation world had moved on. Jets were crossing the Atlantic in 7 hours, carrying 200 passengers. Nobody needed a man in a Comanche to prove it could be done anymore, but Max wasn't proving anything to anyone by that point. He was just flying, because that's what Max Conrad did. He passed away in 1979 at the age of 75. Winona, Minnesota put up a monument. The airport there bears his name, but honestly, the best monument to Max Conrad is every pilot who looks at their little airplane and thinks, "I wonder how far I could go in this thing."
I'm not saying you should rip the seats out of your Cherokee and point it at Ireland. Please don't do that. But there's something in Max's story that speaks to the heart of why any of us fly. It's the curiosity. The quiet confidence that comes from knowing your airplane and knowing yourself. The willingness to be alone with the engine noise and your own thoughts for as long as it takes to get where you're going. More than 100 Atlantic crossings in light singles. A 58-hour solo flight in a Comanche, and he sang hymns the whole way. I pulled most of tonight's story from the Smithsonian Air and Space Archives and a wonderful profile the Old Flying Magazine ran on Max back in the 1960s. If you want to dig deeper, it's worth your time. Find us at radiohangar.com. Fly safe. And if you're out there tonight, sing a hymn for Max.